Thank you for downloading this podcast. We hope you enjoy the following message from Gateway Family Church.
Today, we're calling this a dedication service because we're dedicating babies, but we're also dedicating our building. And so the whole idea is that we wanted to come in, and I know this isn't like the first opening because we've already been in here for a month now, but it's kind of like a grand opening, you know, in the sense of this is really the one that matters, I guess. This is what they keep telling me to do. But there's this idea of dedicating something. And I think dedication is something that we've kind of lost in this current culture. You know, the whole idea of really fully committed to something, really being dedicated to something, it's something that I think is a difficult concept for a lot of people. There's a lot of people in today's world and this next generation coming up that has a whole lot of quit in them. Like if things get to going a little bit too hard, it's real easy to quit. Yeah. And in our family, we're trying very hard to teach our kids, you know, that you just don't quit once you get started with something. So like if we play a sport, if our kids play a sport, and some of it's just because we're cheap and we don't want to waste money, but some of it is we want to teach them to be dedicated. But if they play a sport, we say, okay, once you start this sport, once I pay the money, you're in this sport until the very end. You know, and when this sport is over, you don't ever have to play it again if you don't want to. But once you sign up and I give them a check, emphasis on me giving them the check, right? That's it. You're locked in until the end of the season. So our son right now is trying to play football at Hewitt Trussell Middle School. And there's been days when he said, Dad, this is hard. Like, this is really hard, or this is really boring. If he's not getting to play, if he has to go to practice and doesn't get to do anything, this is really boring. And I said, yeah, but this is what you signed up for. And he said, I know it. He said, I'm in it, you know, and I won't quit. And so he doesn't have the option. But a lot of times we give people so many ways out instead of asking people to be committed and dedicated to stay in. And it's like we want to give people opportunity to just quit when really we got to stay faithful to some stuff. Right. We got to stay faithful to some stuff. And so today I want to talk about what does it mean to be dedicated and what we're doing here. Because really we're not dedicating a building. I'm going to be honest with you. God could care less about this building. We're happy for it. We're happy for it. But God doesn't care about concrete and mortar. He doesn't care about bricks. These aren't the things that impress God, right? Anybody who has streets made of gold is not impressed with our little bit of brick and metal. And so the idea is, if we're dedicating the church, we're not dedicating the building, we're dedicating the church. And what is the difference between the church and the building? Well, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 says, "And you are living stones that God is building into His spiritual temple. What's more, you are His holy priest. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God." I like the first part of that verse where it says, "You are living stones that God is building into His spiritual temple." We're not dedicating a building. We're dedicating a church. Right. We're dedicating ourselves today. We are living stones. When God looks at us, He sees this and He thinks, I can build something out of that. I can build something. If I have enough of these, I can build something great. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. You'll see this if you get here early enough for the countdown video. You'll see this rolling on it. It says, "So now you Gentiles," that's us, "are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together, we are His house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus Himself. We are carefully joined together in Him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through Him, you Gentiles are being made part of His dwelling, where God lives by His Spirit." So where is God's temple? Where is God's church? Where is God's house? Where does He want His Spirit to live? He wants His Spirit to live not on this concrete floor and this wooden stage. He wants His Spirit to live in each and every one of us. And our unity, our dedication to each other is a part of that building. This is who we've become. He wants us. He wants to create us into something great and wonderful and usable. So what does it mean to be dedicated? I looked up the definition of dedicated. I want to read it to you today. I really like it. It says, "Devoted to a task or purpose, having single-minded loyalty or integrity." Some other words that it means is to be committed, devoted, staunch, firm, steadfast, resolute, unwavering, to sacrifice, to give, to surrender, to be consecrated. But in the Bible, there's a word or a phrase that is used for the idea of dedicated, and it's this phrase that says, it's called being set like stone. Sometimes it says being set like flint, which is a sharp rock, but being set like stone is a term for dedication. And what it means is when something is set like stone, it means that it doesn't matter what goes on around it. It doesn't matter what outside circumstances confront it, that it is set like stone. It will not move. It will be true to what it's focused on. Right. To be set like stone. I want you to look at Isaiah chapter 50. This is 700 years before Jesus was born, and the prophet Isaiah is talking about Christ. So God has given him a word to tell people about what Christ is going to be like 700 years before he shows up. And it says this, the whole chapter is good, but verse 7 says, "Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a stone, determined to do his will, and I know that I will not be put to shame." In that passage of Scripture, Isaiah is describing how Jesus was going to be crucified, how he was going to be beaten and bruised, how he was going to be tortured. So he's showing us a glimpse of what Jesus is going to go through. And even saying the words, "I will set my face like stone and I will pursue God's purpose for my life. I will pursue his will for my life. No matter what people do to me, I have my face set like stone. I am dedicated to this." Folks, we need to have our face set like stone in a few areas of our life. There are some areas of our life we need to have our face set like stone. And we're going to talk about a few of those areas today. The first area I want to talk about, what we're setting our face towards, what we're dedicated to, and that is we need to be dedicated to God's presence. We need to have our face set like stone. This has been a common theme since we've moved into this building and maybe a little bit before. But this idea that we have got to hone in on having that place of prayer. We've got to hone in on having that place of encounter with God. That being a Christian has to be more than just showing up at church on a Sunday. It has to be more than not saying those bad words. It's got to be something deeper. Being a Christian has to be where we're in God's presence, where we're seeking His presence, where we're praying and we're creating that place. A couple weeks ago, we've been talking about creating an altar and how the Bible says when they built an altar, that was a place of encounter with God. We've got to be dedicated to that. So what does it mean? It means that we're setting our face like stone to His presence to say, "I'm not going to let anything distract me. I'm not going to let anything distract me." You know, one of the biggest distractions to His presence in Alabama is Saturdays in the fall. Amen? I mean, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but if I ask you to raise your hands this morning of how many of you really spent time with God yesterday, a lot of us would be like, "Yeah, I spent time watching ESPN," because you got to watch game day, right? You can't get ready for Alabama or Auburn without watching game day first. And then Auburn came on, so all the Auburn fans had to watch Auburn. And then they had to stay over and watch Alabama because they wanted to see if Alabama would lose. And the Bama fans did just the opposite. They watched Auburn because they hate Auburn. They want to see Auburn lose. They almost got their wish. And then they watched Bama. And I don't even know if there was another team on the field when Bama played last night. I feel like it was a practice. The Blazers did win. Go Blazers. We can all agree on the Blazers. I've decided I'm going to be a Blazer fan. I am. I'm going to do it. I need a t-shirt. Someone needs to get me a t-shirt, Blazer t-shirt. I won't buy it for myself. Look at Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verse 15. But despite Jesus' instructions, and so to set you up, Jesus keeps doing these great things, and he keeps telling people, just keep this low key. Don't be going out telling everybody what I'm doing. But despite his instructions, the report of his power spread even faster. And vast crowds came to hear him preach and to be healed of their diseases. Pause right there before you switch to the next verse. So look at what's happening. It says this, the report of his power spread, vast crowds came to hear him preach. Can I tell you something today? If any of us were in the position of Christ and we've got vast crowds coming to hear us talk, or whatever your case is, maybe you're a business owner and you've got vast crowds coming into your place of business, These are the moments that we would live for. These are the moments that we would crave and dream would happen. I know as a pastor, that's the thing that all pastors want. They would love to see this happen to them, right? That everybody knows me. Everybody's downloading my sermons and everybody's coming to hear me preach and everybody's seeing all this stuff. That's the thing that pastors would live for. But we all have those areas in our life. And those would be the moments that would probably be the hardest for us to really seek God. See, it's easy to seek God when things are bad because you got nothing else to do. When you're struggling and you're hurting, that's an easy place to find God. The Bible even says that God is close to the brokenhearted. So you know right off the bat, He's there with you when you're hurting. But what about when everything is going better than you could ever dreamed? Those are the moments we forget Him. I want you to look at what Jesus did. Go to verse 16. Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. In the moments that everything's going right for Christ, those are the moments the Bible says He often. In other words, He made it a practice. In other words, He was dedicated to withdraw from the crowds, to withdraw from the praise, to withdraw from everybody screaming His name and go find Him a place in the wilderness to pray. He was dedicated to God's presence. We have to be dedicated to God's presence. We have to not allow things to distract us from what God wants to do in our lives by getting into His presence. The second thing we need to be dedicated to is we need to be dedicated to God's people. We need to be dedicated to God's people. Look at John chapter 15, verses 1 through 15 in the Message Bible. It says this, "I've told you these things for a purpose, that my joy might be your joy, and your joy wholly mature. This is my command, love one another the way I have loved you." This is the very best way to love. Put your life on the line for your friends. You are my friends when you do the things I command you. I'm no longer calling you servants. I love this. Because servants don't understand what their master is thinking and planning. No, I've named you friends because I've let you in on everything I've heard from the Father. Let me tell you something here. Jesus was dedicated to His friends. He was dedicated to people. The Bible says there, I like where it says, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends, because the servants don't know what the master is thinking or planning. It's not a matter of the servants aren't in on the master's office. It's that the servants don't know His heart. And Jesus says, I'm willing to share even my heart with you. I'm willing to share with you the things, the most intimate things, the things that when I was in His presence that God downloaded into me, now I'm coming back to you and I'm allowing you to take from me all that I gained in His presence. Right. That's true friendship. That's dedication. Yeah, but Pastor, if I give people my heart, they're going to break my heart. They're going to hurt me. Yeah, they did to Him too. Judas turned against Him. Peter denied Him. They did not hang out with Jesus the whole time He was being crucified. The Bible says only John was there at the cross. It doesn't say anybody else was. But He still poured out His heart for His friends. We need to be dedicated to God's people. We try to go through life alone so often. I'm going to tell you, it's a lonely place. It's a lonely place. You try to go through life with just shallow relationships, it's going to be a lonely place, because if all you've got is Facebook friends, you got nobody to stick with you when things are really tough. You know how I look at Facebook? Like this. And then all of a sudden something catches my eye and I'll stop. I'll look at it for a second and I just keep scrolling. You know why? It's just not that important. That's not real relationship. That's not real relationship. What we need is we need to be dedicated to true relationships. I was reading some studies, and just because I find that kind of stuff interesting because I'm a nerd, and as I was reading some of these studies, they were talking about how if you have real, true relationships, if you have good friendships, that it's actually better for your health to have good relationships and good friendships. They say one of the things they were talking about was that whenever you have those true relationships, that even in your for your health, that you'll see other people and they will encourage you to eat better or do better or work out or whatever the case is, that other people around you help you. But whenever you isolate yourself, it's bad for your health. Isn't that an interesting concept? I read another one that said it's better for you mentally and socially to have friends. They said if you want friends, you got to be a friend. Now, none of these are Christian psychologists writing. This is all secular stuff. They said if you want a friend, you got to be a friend. Learn how to be a good friend and you'll be a blessing to other people. It says if you want more friends, you got to have friends. So start making friends. And some of you may say, yeah, but I don't know how to make friends. I don't either. I'm not a great friend maker. I struggle sometimes with being introverted or being shy. So you know what I do? I have to suck it up and I have to put my big boy pants on and I have to go talk to a stranger. Right. God forbid we talk to someone we don't know. But if you ever notice that you come into church every Sunday, you sit in the same spot, you talk to the same people and you leave, and there's other people in the church that you don't know, our church is not big. We should know most people in this church. Right. There'll come a day when we won't, but for now, we should. How do I meet friends? Get in a small group. We've got some small groups starting up right now. As a matter of fact, Perry and I are going to do a small group for new people. It's called Newish. So if you're newish to the church, you haven't been here too long, and you want to join our small group, it'll be great because you won't know anybody there, and they won't know you, and it won't matter. You'll all be friends together, right? There's other people starting small groups because of where they live. So if you live in Pinson, we got a great small group for you. If you live in Springville, I almost said Springfield. If you live in Springville, we got a great small group for you. Matter of fact, Pinson, we got two small groups. We like Pinson. Trustful has some small groups. You need to go to our website and find you a small group. Yeah, but what if I don't like anybody in there? Yeah, but what if you like at least one person? You might like one. If you come to mine, you'll like Perry. You probably won't like me as much, but you'll love her. Get in a small group. And then you're saying, yeah, but what if there's no small group that I really like or I really want? Then make up one. Some of you have at least three friends. Who's got at least three friends that you know on your phone you could call right now? Who's got three friends? Raise your hand if you got three friends. I got to help some of y'all out. We got to get y'all some friends in here. Got a bunch of shy people living in a basement somewhere. Let's get us some friends, folks. Get us some friends. Call somebody, man. Call somebody and say, hey, I want to meet with you. I want to have coffee with you. Right? I told Tim Carter I wanted him to start a small group this semester. And when I told him that, I said, I know you've got three friends because I've seen you talk to three people. So at least you got somebody you can invite. But Tim's one of those. Tim started going to the gym, same gym I go to. And within 5 minutes, Tim was like athlete of the month, and everybody knows who Tim Carter is. And there's times I'll talk to someone, and I'll say, yeah, I was talking to my friend Tim. They say, Tim Carter? I know him. I work out with him. I'm like, yeah, okay, I was here first. Like, you don't know me, but you know Tim. Whatever, you know? Whatever, nerd. Now I'm in the flesh. I can't even preach a message anymore. I'm mad at Tim. The bottom line is relationships lead to transformation. You'll never fully get everything you need from God just being by yourself. You got to have other people around you. You got to have other people around you that will encourage you, that will help you, that will build you up. So be dedicated to God's people. Be dedicated to God's people. Number three, be dedicated to God's place. This is an interesting one, and I'll explain it. Look at Psalm 25 first, verses 4 and 5. It says, show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow. Lead me by your truth and teach me, for you are God, the God who saves me. All day long I put my hope in you. We find ourselves in that place a lot, right? We find ourselves in a place where we're always asking God, show me where to go. Show me where to be, right? It's important for me to be in the right place. Show me the job I need to take. Show me the city I need to live in. Some of you are new to Trustful and you're new to this church, and you've told me in your connection cards, I'm looking for a church. So you're praying, God, show me the right church I need to be involved in. So look at Psalm 32:8. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Let me give you some of the best advice I've heard. And I heard it from a psychologist on the radio one time, and he said, be where your feet are. Be where your feet are. In other words, if everybody would look down at your feet, be there. If you don't have any feet, be where your butt is. Just be where you are. Be where you are. This is important for you to understand, because what we do a lot of times is we always see in the other field where the grass is always greener. We're always thinking about the other job where the money is always better. We're always thinking about the other girl that's always prettier or funnier. We're always thinking about the other whatever. And we're never dedicated to the place where we are. I had a friend one time, and she bounced from church to church to church to church because she could never dedicate herself to one place. She could never just be where her feet were. I heard a story one time about a man who was being chased by a lion. And as he's being chased by the lion, he gets to the edge of a cliff. And he finally just has to throw himself off the edge of the cliff. And he catches a branch that was sticking out of the cliff. And he's just hanging there. And there's a lion on the top. And then more lions go around to the bottom of the cliff. And there's lions at the bottom. And there's lions at the top. And he's trapped in the middle. And he looks over, and in that moment, he sees a wild strawberry bush growing out of the side of that hill. You know what he does? He starts eating strawberries. Never did save him from the lions, but he was where he was. He lived where his feet were, right? He was dedicated to that spot. And he said, while I'm here, I'm going to eat some strawberries. Listen, some of us find ourselves in that place. And I know there's some of you that you hate your job. I've talked to you about your jobs, and you got a terrible job, and I hate it for you. But until God moves you to another job, until God opens a door, don't just get so sour on your job that you do a terrible job, and therefore you begin to represent God in a bad way. No, you be where your feet are. You do the best you can possibly do where you are until the time comes for God to move you. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, there's a time for everything. And there is. There is always a time for you to move. There's going to be a time for some of you. Some of you are with us right now in this church, but you won't be with us forever. Some of you will move on to another church or another city. You'll do that, and that's okay, as long as you do it in God's time. See, there's this thing that we do a lot of times, is instead of following God's will, we follow our feelings. And your feelings will always lie to you, because it never feels good in the moment. Sure, everything feels good when it's new, but when the newness wears off, then it's old. But you got to learn to be where your feet are. Dedicate yourself to God's place, where He has you. I've seen people before buying new cars. They say, I got to get a new car. Every time my lease runs out on this, I got to buy me another one. I'm just always in debt because I'm always buying cars. They can't ever be satisfied with the car they have. I've seen people go through relationships after relationship after relationship. Why? Because there's always a new relationship. Can I tell you something? We talked about setting your face like stone. For those of you that are married this morning, here's a little lesson. Set your face like stone in your relationship with your spouse, because there's always going to be somebody else on the outside that's younger. There's always going to be somebody else on the outside that's better looking, that's stronger, that has a better car, that has a better job, that has a better house. There's always going to be somebody on the outside, but you got to set your face like stone to your spouse and say, I'm dedicated to my family. Amen. I can't allow outside influences to bother me. If you're like me, it's easy. There's nobody prettier, Perry. Nobody prettier. There are people with warmer feet, though. I will say that. There are people with warmer feet. And so I think about that some nights. I do. Let me show you a little picture real quick. Can I get that picture of that little island? Look at this little island right here. I love this picture. Look at this little island. He's trapped. These plants have the worst possible place to live. Right? Like these plants, the first plant that fell, the first seed that fell on this island should have recognized, this is a terrible place to live. I should just die. But he didn't. He decided, I'm going to grow myself on this little bitty rock in the middle of the ocean where it's just salt water around me, but I'm going to create a life. And not only did he create a life in a tree, he flourished and made that little island a little tiny paradise. Sometimes you might find yourself on a rock in the middle of the ocean with nothing else around you, and it may feel hopeless, but I promise you, if you will learn to just grow where you're planted, God will bless you right there where you are. Amen. There were times in my life and in my ministry when I was a youth pastor or a children's pastor, and I was struggling, and it was hard, and I would see these other churches that would be open, and I would see other friends that they got jobs as pastors, or they got jobs doing this at bigger churches. And I would get offers to go to bigger churches, and I would want to take them. But there was something inside of me that said, no, you got to grow where you're planted. You got more work to do right here. And I stayed where I was, and God helped me to flourish. Amen. Be dedicated to the place you are. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 and verses 18 through 20. It's the very end of a story. So Jesus has just cast not a demon out of a man, but a legion of demons out of a man. Right. So this dude had it bad, right? Like, he was nuts. And so he's had a terrible life, living in a graveyard, cutting himself, naked, just running wild. And Jesus comes and heals him. And the Bible says he's in his right mind. He's studying from Christ. He's sitting at his feet. But the time comes for Jesus to leave. And he gets all of his disciples to go with him, right? And so I'm sure this guy is looking at Jesus, the man that just set me free, looking at all of his disciples, and he's thinking, I bet these cats live a great life. I bet they're just out, like, preaching all the time, and I bet they don't ever have to work. They just pray all day, and they're just out getting bread and fish all day long, and I would love to be a part of that ministry. And so this guy's thinking, I want to go with y'all, right? So look at what the Bible says. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Begged to go with him. Like laying on the ground, crying, grabbing his feet, begging to go with him, right? But Jesus didn't say, yes, I would love for you to go with me. Jesus said, no. Go home. Go to your family. And tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been. Let me pause right there. This man could have very easily been disappointed that Jesus did not want him to go with him. He could have said, yeah, but Jesus, that's a better job for me. Or Jesus, that's a better city for me. Or Jesus, that's a better relationship for me. Or Jesus, that's a better church for me. I need to be with you wherever you go. And Jesus said, no. And he could have sullied up. He could have pouted. I tell my kids no, they start slapping the ground. I say, oh, baby, something's going to get slapped around here. You better get in your room fast. Right? Like little kids pout and they stomp and they kick. And that's what this guy could have done. I want to go there. And so what we do a lot of times is we ask Jesus, can I go there? And Jesus says no. And we get mad and we get sour on the place that we are. But Jesus tells this guy, look, I got something for you at home. You go on home and do your thing. Look at what verse 20 says. So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him. Look at this last sentence. And everyone was amazed at what he told him. The key here is he grew where he was planted. He wanted to go to with Jesus. He wanted to ride on the boats and walk on the water and see the dead raised. But Jesus said, no, I got something better for you. I got something different for you. I got a different pasture for you to be in. And it may not seem as green as my pasture, but I promise you it's exactly where you need to be right now. And when he obeyed, and he was where his feet were, when he ate the strawberries, when he was a little island, whatever you want to use as your illustration today, when he set his face towards God's place, I didn't mean for that to rhyme, when he set his face towards God's place, then God was able to help him flourish. The last one is this. We need to be dedicated to God's purpose. This is a huge one here, because I feel like there's a universal purpose for all of us. Right? Like everybody, we all have the same purpose. As a Christian, whenever you give your heart to Jesus Christ, your purpose then becomes, just like this man, to tell everybody about what God's done in your life. Jesus said before he left, he said, go into all the world and make disciples. This is the general purpose for everybody. But I also believe that God has purposes for you within that realm. So for some of you, depending on where you live or depending on who your family is or depending on where you go to work or where you go to church or where you go to school or where you go to the gym, wherever it is, God's got a purpose for you. He's got a reason. God is not, to borrow from Seinfeld, a willy-nilly God, right? Like, he's not willy-nilly. He doesn't just throw you out there and just hope something sticks. God has a purpose for every place that you go. And I believe there might even be a purpose for even the most small things. Like the gas station you go to. Y'all think I'm crazy. But there's a lady in our church, Sarah Wilson. She's sitting right over here. She is, as I always say, the most holy person in this room. Like if the rapture were to happen today, I'm betting most of us may not go, but she will. Like, she'll be the first one. God will be like, Sarah. And then he's going to be like, let's see who else is left. Like, that's how, he's like, I might just be good with Sarah in heaven. Right? And so Sarah's the most holy person I know. And Sarah, no matter where she goes, has the craziest things happen to her. You know why? Because she has set her face towards God's purpose. And not just God's purpose at her church, and not just God's purpose in her family, but she set her face towards God's purpose at Walmart. So she'll go to Walmart, and she's trying to buy a garden hose. I don't know what she's buying at Walmart. She's trying to buy a water hose, and then somebody will come up to her and immediately be talking to her and start crying and saying, my life is a wreck, and I don't know what to do with my life. And so Sarah says, well, you need to give your heart to Jesus Christ. Let's pray right now. And then, that's the kind of stuff she does. She had somebody come to her house trying to sell her cable one time. Sarah said, I don't need cable, but you need a drink of water. Come on in, get a drink of water. And when they did, then she started praying with them and had a Bible study. And then that person went and got all the other cable salesmen to come in. And they started doing a small group in their house. I mean, who does that? Not me. When cable people come to my house, I hide in the back room and don't answer my door. Not Sarah. Sarah's like, oh, I got to set my face towards my purpose. And my purpose is that all men would know who Christ is and that I would make disciples of all nations. And so I don't care who comes to my door. They're going to get a message. They're going to hear something about God. See, that's why God's not going to pick me first. It's like, buddy, you got to stop hiding in the back room. You got to answer your door every so often. Jim, stop saying amen so loud. You don't say amen for nothing else I say, but when I say something about myself, you say it. So let me just show you what Jesus does. Here's Jesus, how he exemplifies this for us. The Bible says that Jesus, in Luke chapter 9, verse 51, let's slow roll this for a second. It says, the days drew near for him to be taken up. So here's the thing. Jesus knows when life is going to end for him. Right? Like that's scary. Like, have you ever done that thing? These kids at the school where I work, they always ask me, like, Mr. Wright, would you rather know how you're going to die or when you're going to die? Think about that. That's like a really weird question. Don't think too hard. You won't listen to the rest of my message. But think about it later. That's good conversation for lunch today. But think about Jesus. He knew how he was going to die and when he was going to die. He knew both of them. That's horrible. I would hate that. And the Bible says here that he knew his time was coming. In other words, for 3 years, he's been traveling around, ministering to people. He's been traveling around, doing stuff. But at some point, he knows his path has to go through the city of Jerusalem, where he will be murdered and he'll be raised from the dead. But he's got to get tortured first. Like, he knows that's coming, and he knows Jerusalem is the spot. So look at what it says. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. He set his face like stone to go to Jerusalem. What happened? He said, nothing will distract me from my purpose. My purpose is to die. My purpose is to bleed. My purpose is to be tortured. My purpose is to save all mankind from their sins by being the ultimate sacrifice. And nothing will stop me from getting there. Sometimes our faces aren't set like stone, they're set like sand, and we're very easily distracted from our purpose. But we got to set our face like stone. Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible says this: we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because, look at this part. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross. For the joy awaiting him. In other words, what it says there is, Jesus sees the cross, sees the bad, but says there's joy on the other side. There's something good on the other side. My purpose is not fulfilled in the cross. There's something better even after that. So I got to get through the cross to get to my purpose. Sometimes we get to the cross and we stop. Yep. God's got a purpose for you, but you got to be willing to wake up in the morning sometimes, right? Like, you got to be willing to set an alarm. I know that sounds very petty and not very spiritual, but the fact of the matter is, there's a lot of us that God's got a purpose for us, and I wonder how often we miss that purpose because we decided to sleep in. We decided I didn't want to go to work today because my tummy was rumbly, right? Like, I'm not sick, I just don't want to go to work, so I'm going to call in sick. We come up with all of these excuses and we miss purpose. I'm not going to church today because I stayed up too late watching Alabama last night and I'm just real sleepy. But what if today was the day that your neighbor showed up at church and needed you to be here? What if today was the day that God was going to heal you? What if today was the day that God was going to show up big in your life? I don't want to miss a moment, right? I don't want to miss a moment. And this is hard for me, right? This is hard. This isn't an easy preach. But I got to set my face towards my purpose. I got to be dedicated to something. That word endure there means to stay under the load. When it says he endured the cross, it means he had to stay under the load. I was in the gym, and as many people make fun of me, they say I only have two illustrations. My youngest son, Colt, and the gym. But they both make for great illustrations. And I don't have anything on Colt today, so I've got to go with the gym. So I was at the gym, and we were doing a workout where you have to just, like, get the weight and just keep pushing. Right? Like, I could show you, but it'd look weird, right? So let's just say we're pushing over our head. And you got to just keep going. And one of the things the guys tell me, the coaches were yelling at me, they said, don't put the weight down. Because once you put it down and you take a breath, it's going to take you longer. It's a timed thing. It's going to take you too long to get back to it. Don't ever put the weight down. Stay under the load. There's no timeouts in our purpose. There's no place in our purpose where we can tell God, God, I just need to set this down for a minute and live my life for a minute. God, I'm tired. I'm tired of trying to have so much integrity. I just need to watch this movie one time. God, I'm tired of all of this character that I'm having to live under and all these people I got to talk to. I just need a break for me time. There's no place in our purpose for me time. There's a place for rest, yes. But even in rest, we're still fulfilling God's purpose because God said, you got to rest. But it's not a matter of sitting down our purpose. Once you sit it down, it's hard to pick it back up. It's hard to pick it back up. So endure, stay under the weight. All of that sounds bad, but let me give you a reward today, and we're going to close out with this. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, this is a popular verse when it comes to dedicating things because Solomon has built a temple to God in the Old Testament. He built a temple. And whenever he built the temple, he had a dedication service, kind of like this. And so he got all the people together and they began to pray. And Solomon had this incredible dedication prayer in chapter 6. Like the whole chapter just about is a whole dedication prayer. You can read it later. It's really good. But in chapter 7, this is the part I want to read to you. I want to read you three verses, 1, 2, and 14. It says, As soon as Solomon finished his prayer, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. Let me pause right there for a second and just explain a couple of things. In the New Testament, when we see fire, it's talking about the Holy Spirit. So what happens whenever I dedicate myself? What happens whenever I dedicate myself to pursuing God's presence and His people, when I dedicate myself to His place and to His purpose? What happens when I'm dedicated? When you're dedicated, then God can fill you with His Spirit. Then He can come down and do some awesome things in your life. And I like that it says it burned up the sacrifices, because there's some of us that have had some struggles in our life with some addictions. We've had some struggles with some of those nagging sins, some of those things that are almost like a splinter in your foot and you just can't quite get it out. And we've had those kind of issues in our mind or in our hearts. And you know what? When we learn to be dedicated to something, for some of us, you're saying, you know, Pastor, I just really struggle with, you know, these thoughts of infidelity, these thoughts of cheating on my spouse. I really struggle with that. You know what I'm going to tell you? I'm not going to tell you to stop looking at people. I'm not going to tell you to stop going to work where that woman is. I'm going to tell you be more dedicated to your wife. Be more dedicated to your husband. Because the more dedicated you are to that person, the less the distractions bother you. The more your face is set like stone. So in other words, the Holy Spirit can come down and do a better work in you, can consume with His fire more of that junk in your life when we're dedicated to something. It also says the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Can I tell you just quickly, that word glory there means the weight. The weight of God's presence. And I love that idea because it's hard to understand. When the Bible talks about something weighing something, like there's a weight. But the Bible says there was times when the glory would fill places and people would fall down because of the weight of His presence. That's something that I want, not just in my church building. That's something I want in my life. I want God to come down and consume all the bad stuff off of me, yes, but I want Him inside of me so much so that there's weight to it. There's substance to it. I don't want just to have God's Spirit living in me in name only. I want there to be substance to it, something that changes the things about me. The Bible says people couldn't even go into the temple because of God's glory filling the temple. What if there was a time in your life when you're dedicating yourself to His presence and you're praying, you're seeking God, and there comes such a weight of His presence, of His glory in your life that you just got to shut things down? Man, that'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. I want that. Verse 14 says this, "If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." What are the rewards of being dedicated? The rewards of being dedicated are His Spirit and His glory in your life. But here's some other ones. Because whenever He uses words like humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, these are all dedication terms. When you're dedicated to something, you're willing to humble yourself. The word dedicated literally means to be a sacrifice, right? To submit. And so whenever I humble myself, I submit myself, I dedicate myself to God. And so He says, if you will humble yourself, if you'll dedicate yourself to doing what? To seeking my face, to praying, right? Coming after my presence. If you'll dedicate yourself to removing sin from your life, to turning away from sin. Sometimes we've got no dedication when it comes to sin. Oh, we're dedicated to church and we show up at church every single Sunday. Look, there's been plenty of times in my life where I did not miss a time when the doors were open. But it didn't mean that I wasn't still struggling with sin. Church didn't take the sin away. I had to be dedicated to say, every time I see sin, I'm going to turn away from it. Every time I see something in my life, I'm going to turn away from it. Every time the enemy attacks and I feel that pull towards sin, I've got to stop that thing. I dedicated myself to it. So those are dedication terms. So what does it say He's going to do? It says that He will hear you, He will forgive you, and He will heal you. Some of you today just need to be heard. You're saying, I pray so much and I just don't think God hears me. Are you dedicated to Him? I pray so much and I just don't feel like I'm ever forgiven. Are you dedicated? Pastor, I just need healing in my land. I need my family to be healed. I need my school to be healed. I need my job to be healed. I just need God to show up and change people's lives. We've got to be dedicated. We've got to be dedicated to His purpose. I want everybody to stand up with me today as we close out. Now, a lot of times we have prayer down at the altar. And today we're going to do things a little bit different. But if you do need prayer after the service is over, I'm sure Ola or some of our prayer team will come down at the end of the message and they'll be willing to pray with you. But today, here's what we want to do. We want to dedicate ourselves. We want to dedicate ourselves. We want today to set our faces like stone, like flint. Towards what? Towards His presence. Some of you, that's a dedication you need to make today. You need to make that dedication. Some of you need to make the dedication, I'm going to set my face towards God's people, right? I'm going to join a small group. I'm going to get on a team. I'm going to go through Connect. Whatever the case is, I'm going to get around people that can help me. Some of you need to, today, you need to set your face towards God's place. You need to say, I'm going to stop complaining about where I am, and I'm going to make where I am the best place in the world. I'm going to make this little island a flourishing jungle, right? And then some of us need to, we need to be dedicated to God's purpose in our life. You say, I'm going to stop living for me. I'm going to start living for whatever He wants me to do. So here's what I want us to do today. I want everybody to close your eyes with me for just a second. There may be some of you that you're not serving God today. You're not serving Christ at all. And I want to pray for you first before I pray for the rest of us. And you may be saying today, Gabriel, I'm not serving God, but I want to. I want to be dedicated to Him because He was dedicated to me. He dedicated His whole life to me. He dedicated His life to me. He died on the cross for me. And if He can dedicate His life to me, I want to dedicate my life to Him. If that's you this morning and you need God to forgive you of your sins, you need to turn your life around. You need to serve Him and live for Him. Just slip your hand up real quick, put it right back down. You don't have to go high. I just want to say thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? I'm going to pray this prayer with all of us today. Say, Lord Jesus,
thank you
for dedicating your life so that I could live. Today, I dedicate my life back to you. To live for you, to serve you, and to love you. I believe in your sacrifice. And I believe in your life. I accept you today. In Jesus' name. Amen. For the rest of us, here's what I want you to do. You know, if you were going to court, you would raise your right hand, right? That's a sign of covenant. And I want us today to raise our right hand, and I want us to dedicate ourselves to the Lord. And I'm going to pray, but I want you to pray on your own. I want you to pray on your own. Matter of fact, if you want to get with your family and pray, you're more than welcome to get with your family and pray. But I want you to pray today a prayer of dedication. You know the areas where you need to be dedicated. But I'm going to pray over all of us. And as I pray, you feel free to pray on your own. God, right now, I pray for everybody in this room. And God, we dedicate ourselves as Gateway Family Church. We dedicate ourselves to your purpose. We dedicate ourselves today as a church body to be living stones, God. God, that we're going to be your temple. God, we're going to be your temple. We're going to be the place where your spirit lives, where your weight resides. God, today we want to dedicate ourselves to winning the lost, God, to helping people find Christ, to helping people find life. God, we want to dedicate ourselves to people being made healed and whole. God, today we want to dedicate ourselves to what you have for us, to be a house of prayer. God, today we dedicate ourselves. And God, I pray for each and every family and individual in the room today, everybody representing their family today, I pray for them right now that they would be dedicated, God. They would be dedicated to your people. They'd be dedicated to each other, God. They'd be dedicated to each other. They'd be dedicated to your purpose, to your place, God, that whatever school they're in, whatever job they're in, God, they'd be dedicated in that moment until you move them. God, let them be dedicated as a family to your presence, God, that they would seek you as a family. Today we dedicate ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more info about Gateway Family, visit our website, gatewayfamily.cc.